Yes. Okay. Now it thinks it would like to do it. That is a good thing. Technology is a wonderful thing when it occasionally decides to work. So basically what I was going to say is there is, you know, if you have an image online or something, just click on it and say image save. Save it on your hard drive. There it is, right there. And save it in the same folder that the page is in. And then when you send me the page, it's all set. Now, he came in with a question about the picture was out of control, as in it was very big, and he wanted to change the size. You can change size in HTML using height and width, but that's not the way that it's recommended, because the browser has to work harder if it has to change the image size. So it's far better to go into Paint or something like that. And if you bring your picture into Paint, there's a button right up at the top that says Resize. And you can click on the Resize, and then you can lower the size, and then you can do a Save, and I usually save it under a new name. You know, I put an SM after it to tell me that it's small or something like that. So I save it in the size, I do a Resize, and I save it in the size I want. And that's the one I put up on my web page. Okay? As I said, you can force the browser to resize, but that's not the recommended way of doing it, because the browser has to work too hard. And that means your page takes longer to load, and long loading pages are not considered something you want to create.
After I did that, I resized my picture and I put it on there. Still had the same space that my old picture had on there, but it was just white.
Okay, did you look at what I sent you?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, look at what I sent you.
Okay.
As I told you, this is a survey course. So, we will come back to HTML in a little while because we're going to be developing a portfolio. But for now, I basically want to have you work on that, and I'm moving on. So I'm moving on to Access. Okay, now, Access, what we have is Access 10 on these computers. Access 7, if you happen to have Access 7 instead of 10 at home, and you want to do stuff at home, that's fine. Okay, because Access 7 works almost the same way that Access 10 does. If you have the MSDN Alliance invitation, which you should have gotten at your Bristol account, that allows you to download Access 10 or Access 7, but that lets you download it for free. Okay? So you should have gotten an MSDN Alliance invitation, and that allows you to download a whole lot of Microsoft software. But I'm specifically asking you to, if you want it at home, to download the Access. And I believe you have to download it on the CD and then install from the CD.
We are supposed to get that already.
You should have gotten it at your DCC account. Okay, if you didn't get it, you can email me and I can check up on it. I'm not the one that sent out the invitations. Okay, that's done by our IT people.
Would that be through the email?
It should be an MSDN Alliance email, should have come to your BCC account. And since it came, you said you're nodding your head, so you must have got it. If one of you got it, then all of you should have gotten it because it was sent out as a mass mailing. Okay, so you should have all gotten it. And it, somewhere in the subject or something, should indicate that it's an MSDN invitation. Okay, if you didn't get it, send me an email and I can contact the IT people with a list of people that can't find it. Okay, but I do not send that, so I just trust that it got sent. Okay, so if you don't find it, let me know. Okay, so the other thing is, if you don't want to install Access at home, or you don't have a computer at home, or whatever, obviously you can do all of this work here. The main lab in there doesn't have classes, so you can go in there and work in there. Okay, that main lab in the middle of the building doesn't have classes. You're welcome to use classrooms as well, but they come and go whether they're available. Depends on the classes. At 1:45, I'm done, and this room appears to be free, so I will be staying here, and if people need help, they can always come in that slot between 2 and 3, and this room is available, and I'm available, or Mark's available, one of us is available. Okay, so I'm going to go in, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to find Microsoft Access 2000. If it isn't here, you can go to All Programs, look up Microsoft Office 2010, and then find Microsoft Access 2010. But you should open Microsoft Access 2010. Now, this weekend, I did a PowerPoint presentation on using Access 2010, and so you're welcome to go and take a look at that presentation if you have problems with it. Okay, so I ran through the steps on a presentation, and that's up at my website under presentations. So you can go in and do that. Okay, so here is Access. What I have to do, and my suggestion is that you bring it up and follow along with me, but if you prefer not to, that's fine. Over here, I'm going to store the database that I create. And I will first browse to decide where to store it. So I'm going to go over here and click on that. Okay, and I'm saying I want a particular location. Okay, actually, I probably can make up a name first. Database 2 is probably not the greatest name. So we'll call it In Class January. And it will put on this an ACCDB. So I can do it or it will do it. I can't spell. I'll get it yet. ACCDB. Listen to me. Don't look at what I write. Okay. It makes an ACCDB extension. Okay. For Access database. Okay. So I then can browse and decide where I want to put it. I would recommend you put it on your T drive. So I'm going down here under computer and I can pick the T drive. I'm actually going to put it on one of my flash drives, so I'm going to put it here. So I picked there and said okay. So I'm putting it on my G drive. But you can go and put it on your T drive. Yeah.
How did you get to the browse?
How did I get to what?
The browser.
Right here.
Okay.
That little envelope thing over there gets me to the browser. Yeah. Okay. So the first thing I want to do is I want to decide what I want to call it, and I want to decide where I want to put it. Okay. And it's a lot easier to make that decision up front. Otherwise, it's going to go wherever, and I'm going to have to copy and paste or whatever to get it to where I want it to be. So it's a lot easier to just take the time to get it where you want it to be. Now, what a database is a database is a collection of data. Okay, and that's all it is. It's a collection of data. So you're on a gazillion databases. Okay, if you are working someplace, you're on a payroll database. If you're definitely on a student database here. So you're probably on a whole load of databases where information about you is kept. And that's what a database does, is it keeps information and allows me to access that information when I need it.
That's why it's called Access.
Huh? That's right. Access. Good point. Okay, so now I'm going to click the Create button, and that means it creates it. Actually, I'm going to click it. Hope it does. There. Okay, and this is what comes up. Now, I actually don't like this interface. I want to use a different interface. So I'm going to click on this over here. That over there. Okay? And by clicking on that, I'm going to get into a different interface. So I'm going to go over here and click on that. And then it asks me to give a name. Okay, now, this is a database. A database is made up of tables. And the reason I have tables is I may want to store different information different places. For example, with payroll, I'm going to store your name, your address, your pay per hour, your salary, whatever, on one database, table, on a table within the database. Then I'm probably going to have a table on the hours per week that you work. So one table has the big picture about what you earn, your pay or your salary or whatever. Then another table has the details. Week one, he worked this number of hours. Week two, he worked this number of hours. Week three, he worked this number of hours. So I can have a bunch of tables within a database. Right now, we're only going to concentrate on putting one table in the database. Later on in the semester, we'll put multiple tables in after we've learned some other stuff. But we're going to put one table in the database, okay? Now, you can relate this also to some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about. A table is like a file, and your book talks about tables and files or all those things. And so I'm now making a table, which is really a file. It's a file within the database. But within a database, that file gets called a table, and they confuse us with language, so they can pay us a lot. So we say thank you for confusing us with language, because that means we can earn more money, okay? Because other people can't talk with us. Okay, so anyway, in other words, why did they have to change the name? But anyway, okay, so I'm going to call this Stew 2012. Stew for student. I'm going to make a student database. So I'm going to call that Stew 2012. You can call it anything you want. Doesn't matter. Okay? However, please do not use embedded spaces when you name something. Okay? So no spaces in between there. Microsoft did the worst thing for us in the world when they said that we could use embedded spaces in names. Because most programming languages, it's a no-no to use an embedded space in a name. So basically what I'm trying to do is kill the habit now, okay, and get rid of putting embedded spaces in a name. So we're going to call this Stew 2012, and I said okay. Okay, and notice over here it had table 1. Now it says Stew 2012. Okay, so that's the name that I have given my table. Okay, my database is called In Class January. And you can see that up there. In Class January is my database. Within my database, I have a table called Stew 2012. Now, on the database, I have to tell it what I want to call things. And Microsoft thinks they're being helpful, so they give me a hint as to what I should call the first field, and they tell me what they want the data type to be, and I'm going to tell them no. Okay? So, I'm going to call this first field Stew ID, just to be ornery. Auto number, I'm not going to put auto number in there. I'm going to change auto number by clicking on data type, and I'm going to actually make it a text field. I could also make it any of these types that show up when I click on the arrow underneath data type, but I'm going to call it a text field. Okay? Maybe I want to make it a number, but maybe I want letters in the ID number. Okay? So I'm going to make it a text field. I don't tend to make things numbers unless I'm going to use them mathematically. Okay, if I'm not going to use them mathematically, I tend to make them a text. Okay, because that gives me more flexibility. A text field can have letters in it, it can have numbers in it, and it can have special characters in it. It can have anything in it. Whereas a numeric field can only have numbers, so I'm limited. Okay? So I'm making it a text field. Now, the default size for a field is 255 characters. Well, I'm not going to be making up an ID 255 characters, okay? So, I'm going to say I want to have maybe 5 characters, okay? So that means my ID is going to be a maximum of 5 characters. So my first field is going to be called StuID. Okay? So now I'm going to come up here and I'm going to say my next field is going to be called StuName.
Where did you get the captured new image?
Pardon me?
Where did you get captured new page?
You don't get that, I do.
Oh.
That's how I make my smart board. Okay?
All right.
That's mine. Okay.
Click what now?
Do what? Go down to the next field name, and I'm going to call the next field name StuName. And I'm going to make it a text field, but again, nobody's name is 255 characters. I'm going to make that 50. Okay? And 50's probably big, but if you use hyphenated last names and you want a middle name and all that, maybe you get to fairly large, so 50 is going to buy it. I tend to make my fields a little big because I have experience of making them too small and then having to go back and fix it. So I tend to make them a little bit big. Okay, so now I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to put in their major. And their major is going to be, we'll say, text also, but it's only going to be 2 characters because the major is going to be something like CI or BU for business or whatever, EN for engineering, whatever. I'm going to make it a 2 character field. So I'm going to make major a 2 character field. And then I come down here and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to put in GPA. And my GPA is a number. So I'm going to make that a number field. And once I've made it a number, it comes down and says, what kind of a number would you like to make it? And so I'm saying I would like to make it a single number, meaning I want it to be a decimal. Single and double are decimal. You can also use decimal, but for some reason I find single and double work better. I like them better. So I pick single because single is a small decimal. In other words, I think the maximum is 32,000 in single, and then anything bigger than that, you should pick double. Okay? GPA can't be higher than 4. It's 4 point something, so single works just fine for GPA. So I'm going to pick single there. And so I've said it is going to be a number, and it is going to be single. And then single is down at the bottom. And then I'm going to say number of courses or number of credits. Let's go with number of credits. Number of credits, and that's going to be a number again. And this one, I'm going to come down to the bottom under field size, and I'm going to pick integer. Again, integer is the small number, and I think it goes up to 32,000. You can check me if you want to and look that up. I always forget to look it up. And long integer is above that, okay? I'm pretty sure none of you are going to earn 32,000 credits, so I can go with integer, okay? So I'm making that an integer field under field size. And that's enough. So I've now put 5 fields on my database. this is the data that I want to carry on my table. I should have said on the table within my database. This is the five fields that I want to carry on my table. Okay? So, now I'm going to come over here. Now notice that little box up in the corner that says view. If I click on it, it says, do you want to save the table? And I say yes. Now notice I can click back and forth on whatever icon is there. When it shows the pencil and the whatever that is, ruler, etc., then it is means I can go back and look at the design. If I click on it when it looks like a graph, it means I can go put data in. So I can move back and forth by clicking on that little icon there. Okay, that lets me move back and forth. So I'm going to click on that, and I'm going to come over and put in the data. So my first student is going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, John Doe. His major is CI. He has a GPA of 3.4, and he's got 30 credits. And I don't care what data you put in. You make up data. I'm just putting in some data. Then when I'm done, I click on enter or tab, and I come down here, and I can put in my next student. And she's got a 4.0, and she's only got 12 credits. And then 33333 is David Smith, and he's a BU major, and he's got a 2.5, and he's in 45 credits, and he is 44444, and this is Jim Costa. And he's a CI major, and he's got a 4.0, and he's in 24 credits. And I'm just putting them in. But notice I'm putting in a little bit of variety here, because I want to have some variance. And we'll see why in a few minutes. But I'm putting in a variety of different things. And again, make up any names you want. Just make, you know, 6 or 7 or whatever, make a bunch of questions. Mark and I are here to answer questions, so if you're running into problems, let us know. Okay, so the only thing you're missing is an ID, so you can put that in at the bottom, it doesn't really matter who you are. So just come down here and put in a student ID. ID, and that would be a text field, and I made it 5. So I came down here and changed 5. Now, on this field, you also have to click on that field, go back up there, click there. You want to click on primary key, and I'm going to go over that in a minute, but it's automatically there on the first one. So we did that. I'm going to go over that and just put that in. I think it was 2. It was text and 2. Text was the first thing, and then it was just 2 numbers. Number was single, that's right. Number of credits is the next one. And that was integer. Yep, that's fine. Okay? So go ahead and put the data in. Questions. If you have questions, please ask. Questions? they're all set with it? Or no, that's not the one I'm doing.
Excuse me.
Bless you. Yeah, that was fine. Have come up, so I'm going to get into it. This is a primary key. What a primary key is it uniquely identifies a record. And everything in a database table should have a field that uniquely defines it so you don't end up with duplicates. That's why everything you do in life has an ID, okay? Because that uniquely identifies. You have your student number, that identifies that. You have your credit card number. That's an ID that identifies your credit card. You have numbers for everything in the world. And those are called primary keys, and it has that little key there. If the key wasn't there, and Microsoft put it there for us to start out with, if I wanted to, I can click on the primary key up here, and it goes away, and click on primary key up there again, and it comes back. So that's the primary key. Okay, so there's another rule about primary keys. It has to be unique, and it can't be empty. So if you go down and you start to create a row, and then you decide against it, it yells at you and says you've got a missing primary key. Well, my solution would be to make another record and just fill in the whole thing. But Microsoft will be happy if you just give it a primary key, because the primary key can't be null. Other fields can be null or empty, but a primary key can't be empty. It has to be a unique number, and it can't be empty. So if I try to write 11111 again for a primary key for somebody else, it's going to yell at me. And that's a good thing, because we want our identification number to be unique. And we don't want two students to have the same ID number and get their grades mixed up and all that good stuff. So by making it a primary key, it makes it unique and it makes it have to have data in it. Okay? questions. Okay. Has everybody got some data in here? Yeah? Okay. Then I'm going to close down. Yeah.
I have an issue here. It's like...
Index or cannot contain a null data. That means you've either got to delete that row or just put data in. So quite a...
Oh, I guess.
Okay, so just... It's, the easiest thing is to make a new record.
All right.
Okay, if you go down and you kind of try to save with a blank record at the bottom, it's going to yell at you. So, in other words, if I go over here to my view, do you want to save it? Yes. And I come down and put the cursor there, then I've started a record. Okay? Now, if I try to leave at this point, it's going to yell at me. Well, I guess it didn't. I don't know why it didn't yell at me, but I thought it would.
Somehow...
It likes me better than you.
The record at the bottom when people are having the problem.
Right, okay. So.
If you hit enter or something now, or you keep hitting enter, it'll go to a new record.
There, okay. That's where the problem lies, okay. And if you get to this position, then hopefully, yes. Index or primary key cannot contain a null value. Okay? So at that point, I say, okay, I'll make a new person then. And brown, whatever. Okay, so I just go and say, okay, now I've got a new person and it's going to be happy with me.
And you can either right click it now and it will let you later.
Yes.
You don't really need it.
If you really don't want it, but in this case, the more the better, so I'll leave the record. So now I'm leaving this by clicking the X over in the corner. I'm closing up the table. So now I have the table, and if I ever want to see it, I can just double-click on it, and I'll see the table. Okay? So I can just say, okay, I want to see that, and there it is, and I can X... and make it go away. Now, the value of a database is I can have a database of a million records, or I can have a database like the school does of many thousand records. I can say I want specific records. Okay, guys. And this is done with a query. Okay? So I come in here, and watch what I'm doing now. Create, and then I say create query design. Create query design. Okay, that's what I want to do there. And I'm going to capture that and bring it over and paste it here so that I have it in the what I'm doing. Okay, so I do create query design and click on it. Okay, so when I create query design, okay, the conversation's distracting me, okay? And that's the main person we can't distract. Okay, so I'm saying now I want to use that table. If I had multiple tables here, it would have listed them all, and I could choose what table I wanted to use. But since I only have one table, it only lists one. And so it highlights it, and I can now click on Add to say I want to use that table. And then I can close. So that brings up the table, and I'm grabbing this middle and moving it up so it's a little bit higher. These are the fields that I have on the table. I can then get those down to my query in one of three ways. I can double-click it. Yeah, I can. Okay, so I can't today. I can drag it down. I can double click it. It liked it when I double clicked that one for some reason. I don't know why it didn't like the other one. Or I can use this arrow here and pick something. So I can get information on here by dragging it down, by double-clicking on any one of the fields, or by using the little arrow to bring it up. Okay? And I can choose as many fields as I want. And I can put them in any order. I happened in this case to put them in the right order, but I didn't have to. I could have put the name first and the major second. I can put them in any order I want. So now if I go over and I view this, what I've told it is I only want to see those three things. I don't care about the GPA or the number of credits. I just want to see those three things. And so it shows me those three things. Okay. Now if I go back and click on the pencil and rulers, I get back to the view. And notice down here there's some little lines that say criteria and say or. Okay. I'm going to set up a criteria. And I'm going to say I want CI majors. So I pick the field called major and the line called criteria. And I say I want to see CI majors. Now in computing, when I say I want to see something and I'm using letters, I put quotes around it, because that makes it a non-numeric literal. And I put quotes around it. If I didn't put quotes around it, Microsoft would fix it and put the quotes around it. Okay? So that quotes show up around that. Yeah. Oh, it went away? Okay. So I put the quotes around it in the CI. And that tells me what that says is the criteria is that I want to see CI majors. I don't care about anybody else. I want to see CI majors. So now when I go over and view, I'm only seeing the records of the people that had a CI. Anybody that had a BU is not showing up yet. Okay? Now, one of the ways that we look at logic is we draw what's called a logic flowchart. And we put a decision in this box. So I'm saying I want everybody that has a major of CI. And I don't often put the quotes in when I'm doing the flowchart, because the flowchart is for people, not for machines. This is the yes, this is the no. And you always have, computers are dumb machines. They understand yes and no, they don't understand maybe. Okay? So when you ask a computer a question, you ask it a yes-no question. Now, artificial intelligence is getting into the maybe area, but we're not going into artificial intelligence, so we're going with the yes-nos. Computers can evaluate something and say, yes, it's true, no, it's not true, but they can't deal with maybe. So if I ask a question, it's either a yes or a no. And what I'm saying here, if it is CI, display it. So if the major is equal to CI, display the record. And if I'm talking about IO, I usually use a parallelogram. People also use rectangles, but if I'm talking about output, I usually use a parallelogram. And you'll see me make that mistake and sometimes use a rectangle. And then I close up the decision like that. Okay, so that's the logic that I'm using when I'm saying I would like to see CI majors. If the person is a CI major, I would like to see it. Okay? So that is called a logic flowchart, or just a flowchart. You can can also look at what I want to see in pseudocode. And pseudocode is fake code. It's like English. So I say, if the major is CI, display it. And then I write end if. And the end if matches with that little circle that ends it. This goes with the question, and this goes with the display. So I'm saying there, if the major is CI, display it. And that's the end of the if. Because if the major is not CI, I don't have anything to do. And I just messed that up because I hit the wrong camera. Now I got the right camera. Okay. Questions. Okay, I just threw a whole bunch of new concepts at you. So absorb a few of them. And you will hear them coming up over and over again. So hopefully they will make sense. Any questions?
Pseudocode
is fake code. It's kind of like my taking notes. You know, I kind of write down the kind of the notes of what I want to do. If the major is CI, I want to display it, and that's the end. So that's kind of fake code. Okay, don't forget, all of this goes up because I put up the notes.
Oh, it does, on the website.
On the website, because I'm capturing all of this, and it will all go up. So if you don't get everything copied down, that's not a problem, because I'm going to make it go up. Okay, now I'm going to close this. So I'm hitting an X there, and it says, do you want to save the changes? Yes. What do you want to call it? I'm going to call it CI Majors. And okay. And notice it comes up over here under Queries. So I now have a query. And if I click on that query, I will only see CI Majors. Okay, so I can go over there and I can click on this query, and there are my CI Majors.
So you don't save it as query one?
You can save it as anything you want to, but if you save it as query one, then you got to remember what it was query one was. So if you give it a meaningful name, then that's better. Now, in working on homework, I would prefer if you call things problem one when you're answering problem one, and problem two when you're answering problem two, so I don't have to guess which is which. Okay, so you can put other words in there, the two, but I'd like to see the one and the two and the three when you're answering my questions, so I can figure out which question you were answering. Okay, otherwise it's too much guesswork on my part. And you don't want me guessing when I'm correcting. Okay, so now I'm going to make another query. So I'm saying create query design, and I'm going in, and I'm going to add this, and then I'm closing it, and I'm going to bring this up so we can see it better. And now it's letting me double click, and I'm going to bring all of the fields down, and I brought them down in order this time. So now I'm going to say, I want to see all CI majors, and I only want to see them if they have a GPA greater than 3. Now, if I don't put a sign in, it assumes equal. I could have written here equals CI. But it assumes equal if I don't put a symbol in. Here I don't want equal to 3, I want greater than 3. So I put the symbol in. Now, on the greater than 3, notice I do not have quotes around the 3, because the 3 is numeric. And you do not put quotes around numbers. You put quotes around non-numbers, but you don't put quotes around numbers. And there's actually a reason for that. When I name a field or I name something, it has to include at least one text character. so text can get confused with a field name. So they say, put quotes around it, and then I'll know that it's just plain a little. Just plain CI, I want to test that. The CI isn't the name of the field. A field can't be named as just a number, so it won't get confused when I use a number. And so that's one of the reasons. But also numbers are used in mathematics sometimes, and basically they say no quotes around numbers if they are want to be treated as a number. If you put a quote around a number, then it becomes text, which is fine if I don't want to use it mathematically. Okay? So I do not put quotes around numbers. That's the bottom line. And I do put quotes around characters or combinations of characters and numbers. So now I've got two things on that criteria line, and I want them both to be true. I want it to be only CI majors and greater than 3. So if I look at my flowchart for this, I'm going to say major equals CI. And if it's yes, I'm going to ask a second question. Is the GPA, yep, sorry, that's an N. Thank you. Is the GPA greater than 3? And if the answer to that is also yes, then I want a display. So if both of those things are true, I want a display. If the major's CI but the GPA isn't greater than 3, I don't want to do anything because I don't want to see the record. And if the major's not CI, I don't want to do anything because I don't want to see the record. And so I draw that logic flowchart to show me what I want to see. Okay? This is what is called an AND relationship. Two things have to be true. Okay? And if I write this in pseudocode, I would say basically, if major equals CI, then drop down and ask the next question. Is GPA greater than 3? And if that's true, display it. So I'm saying, if the major's CI, drop down and ask the next question. If GPA is greater than 3, I've got it, display. Otherwise, I'm just ending the if and doing nothing. So I have two ifs, so I put two end ifs. And we'll spend quite a bit of time looking at pseudocode and flowcharts. I'm just kind of trying to introduce them now to give you the idea, and especially flowcharts. Okay, I'm trying to introduce those. So that's called an AND relationship. Two things have to be true. Okay, so now I'm going to go over and I'm going to look at the results. Okay, so I have to close the ink layer of my thing. You don't have ink layers, just me. And I'm going to go over here and view it. And there they are. And you can see that everybody is a CI major. And everybody has a GPA greater than 3. So any CI major that didn't have a GPA greater than 3 has shown up. Okay? Now, if I wanted to eliminate some people here, I can go back and I can say I want to see everybody with a GPA greater than 3.5. And when I come back over here and view this, now I'm down to 3 people that have a CI and greater than 3.5. Okay. So everybody on my list is a CI major greater than 3.5. So when the school wants to go and print out everybody that has honors or everybody that has this or everybody that has that, they do this kind of stuff. They develop a query. And the query goes in and asks questions and gets the records that meet the criteria. Okay, and this is used all the time in all kinds of businesses. You go back and forth between that little icon right below the file. This icon right there takes me back and forth between the different things.
Yes, I'm on the view, and it's got the tablet layout.
You're in the query. Okay.
Yes.
That's the query right there. Click on that, and then if you come back over here, that shows you what I'm seeing. Only you apparently didn't bring down the other things. I brought down, if you look at mine, 5 different things here, see? When if you go back and look at mine, I've got all 5 of those things brought down. You don't have query 2, I don't think. I think you just did query 1. So query 2 has major CI and GPA greater than 3.5.
Create query.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to do that one more time. I'm going to save this, and this is going to be save it as a yes, and I'm going to call it and query. And I'm saving it. Okay? Now I'm going to go in one more time and do a create query design, and this time I'm going to do the same thing, add that, close it, and then I'm going to bring down everything. But this time, maybe I'll bring number of credits and then GPA, just to prove to you that it doesn't matter what order I bring them down in, I can have them in any order. Okay, now in this one, I'm going to say I want a CI major. Or I want anybody that has number of credits greater than 15. Okay. Now, notice what I did here. Under major, I put CI on the criteria line. And under number of credits, I put greater than 15 on the OR line. So I'm saying one or the other. I'm saying either the major is CI or the number of credits is greater than 15. That's an either or. Okay? So now let me draw the flowchart for that. Again, we ask the first question. Is the major equal to CI? And if the answer is yes, I don't care about anything else because my criteria are they're either CI majors or they have a GPA, a number of credits greater than 15. So if they're CI majors, I display them. If they're not CI majors, I have a second chance, and that is if the number of credits is greater than 15, and if that's true, I want to display it. So there are 2 chances to display. Either the major is CI or the number of credits is greater than 15. Either of those 2 chances work. And here is the no. And then I close together the bottom decision. And I close together the top decision. And again, we'll spend a lot of time on flowcharts. But the yes on this goes down like that. And the no on the major question goes down through this and then closes up by attaching at the bottom. And again, if you're not getting these attachments at the bottom, don't worry, we'll come back to them. Okay? So this is an or. If I look at the pseudocode on this, it is basically saying, if the major equals CI, then display. If it's not, I use the word else. Else is no, it's not. So else means no, it's not. So this little no up here is the else. Else asks the question, is number of credits greater than 15? And if the answer is yes, display. If not, I've run out of chances, so I end my ifs. Because I'm out of chances. And again, pseudocode we'll look at a lot when we come to code. I'm just kind of putting that there to introduce it a little bit and give you the idea of how it works as we're going along. So this one is saying, if the major is CI, or the number of credits is greater than 15. So I'm going to go over and look at the results. And there they are. So, this person that is BU, I know got there because of number of credits. Okay? So that person got there because of number of credits. Because I said, either CI, I'm having problems with my spelling here, either CI or number of credits greater than 15. So that person got there greater than 15. This person got there for both reasons. They actually got there for CI because I asked that question first, and if they got a yes to CI, I didn't care. This person got there only because they were CI, because their number of credits were 12. This person got there only because they were greater than 15, because they were not a CI major. Okay? So with an or, I am basically saying I've got two chances, and either one can win. Okay? Okay. Now let's go back and we'll save this. And you want to save it? Yes. And I'm going to save it as or query. And in fact, I should have written on that when I went in there that this one was an or relationship. Actually, I should go back one and rate it on the one prior to this. This is an or relationship. And I should have written that, so I will write it now. That's an or relationship. Okay, now I'm going to look at, I'm going to make another new query, so I'm going into create, query design, and I'm bringing it up and I'm adding it, and I'm going to bring down STU ID, STU name, major, GPA, and number of credits. So now I want to see everybody that is a CI major. Okay, this is what I want to see. I want to see people that are CI majors and either have G, GPA greater than 3.5 or number of credits greater than 15. And I may decide I want to change those numbers because I'm not sure what I'm going to get. But essentially, I'm saying here, I want to see CI majors that have either of those two things. Okay? So, what I'm going to do is put in here that I want to see a CI major that has, I think I said, greater than 3.5?
Yeah.
Okay. Or they still have to be a CI major, but they can have number of credits greater than 15.
Is there a space between the greater and 1.5?
Doesn't matter. Okay, so what I've said here is this has to be true. This has to be true. Okay, they have to be a CI major. So I put that on both the criteria line and the OR line because it has to be true. And then I say, and either of these things has to be true. Either of those. Okay? Now, if I didn't put CI on the OR line, it would take this as CI and greater than 3.5 or just greater than 15 and wouldn't care what major they were. So I have to, if something has to be true, it has to show up on both lines. Okay? So that has to be on both lines. And I will do the flowchart in a second. Okay, so that would mean that I'm going to say, is major equal to CI? And if the answer is yes, I continue. And I ask, is the GPA greater than 3.5? And if the answer is yes, I display. Okay? If the answer to this is no, but they are a CI major, they have to be a CI major. So I've got a yes to CI major, but if I get a no to GPA greater than 3.5, I have another chance at it, which is the number of credits greater than 15? And if that answers yes, I display. If that answers no, I'm out of luck. I don't have any other possibilities. So I close that, then I close this one, and then I close this. They're not a CI major. I'm out of there. There's no possibility I want to see them unless they're a CI major. So if they're not a CI major, I'm out of here, and I just keep going. Okay? And just because we've been looking at pseudocode, I'm going to write it for this. This would be if major equals CI, then I'm going to ask, is GPA greater than 3.5? And if the answer is yes, I display it. Else, I ask if the number of credits is greater than 15, display it. And then since I have three questions, I have to end them all And again, we'll get into how I do this later on. For now, I'm interested in you understanding what to do, not necessarily being able to recreate these. Okay, I'm going to go through it enough so that you can recreate them later. But I would like you to understand what's happening. If the major CI, I drop down and say, is the GPA greater than 3.5? If it is, display it. Else, and the else attaches itself up here, else ask if the number of credits is greater than 15. And if it is, display it. And now I'm all done, so I end all the ifs. And again, I'm not asking that you be able to recreate these. I will be spending much more time with them before I ask you to recreate. But I'm hoping that you can at least see what's going on. Yeah.
And if, is that an and if statement?
Yes. The and if is actually like the circles.
Yep.
See the three circles up there? Those are and ifs. So I ended that if, ended that if, ended that if. Okay, in flowcharts, I draw the little circle. Over there, I write the three end ifs. But the end ifs match with the little circles.
Everything has to have a beginning, ending, and end if. So
yeah, right.
Down.
Yep. Or you can get lost.
Yes, three no's and three ends.
Now, if I were to put here, be you, then this is kind of a different thing. What I'm saying here is, I want to have, actually, let me save it before I do that, and then I'll come back and do it. So let me save this. Click on the X, save it, and I'm going to say one thing plus either or something. I'm not quite sure what I'm writing there, but that will work. Okay. So now I'm going to go in and create query design, bring it up, close it, bring this up, bring everything down. Okay, and I had here CI, and I had greater than what? 3.5. If I change this to a BU, and I had greater than 15, then this is saying something different. This is saying I want CI and greater than 3.5, or I want BU and greater than 15. Okay? But I've got different things on the criteria line and the OR line. So here I'm saying I'm looking for a combination of CI and greater than 3.5, which is the criteria, or BU and greater than 15. Okay? And so that is another way that I could have written this. Okay. I'm going to go back. I just wanted to mention that. When I go back to this one, I might as well save this. Save it, yes, two things. Whatever. If I go back to this one, this is the one where the CI has to be true. And if I go over and look at the view, as it turns out, everybody... Oh, no, it worked out fine. These are, everybody is a CI major. These three got there because they were greater than 3.5, but that top one was a 3.4, so that got there because it was greater than 15. Okay? The number of credits was greater than 15. So that's how it got there. But nobody, yeah, right, I forget. Nobody that wasn't a CI major could show up here. Okay, because I said it had to be a CI major. Now, if I go back to that last one that I did, and I look at that one, okay, that one is saying CI with a GPA greater than 3.5 or BU with number of credits greater than 15. Okay, so I'm seeing CI and greater than 3.5. All the CIs have a greater than 3.5. Or I'm seeing the one BU has the greater than 15 in number of credits. So the one BU there had that greater than 15 in number of credits. Okay, if I go back to the two things one and look at that, just quickly looking at this flowchart, I'm saying if they are CI, then I need to have a GPA greater than 3.5. And if I get yes to both those questions, I display. If I get a no to that question, I'm all done. Because CI majors had to have a GPA greater than 3.5. Okay, so once I know they're a CI major, if they don't have a GPA greater than 3.5, I don't care about them. Okay, so now I come over here and say, however, if they're not a CI major, I can ask, are they a BU major? And if they are a BU major, they need to have number of credits greater than 15. And if that answer is yes, I display. And if that answer's no, I'm out of luck. And if they're neither a CI or a BU major, I'm out of luck. And my lines aren't too good there, but close enough for government work.
Circles.
Right. Okay, so I'm done with that. Now, what we're going to do is try to get me out of this. Good. Is we're going to go back here and we're looking at assignments. And there's two assignments. Thursday, I'm not going to be here. But I've got a group assignment that you're going to work on. And Mark will be here to help. And it's doing access. Okay? I have got a bunch of problems that I want you to solve. And I want you to work as a group and pass in the solution as a group. So Thursday, you're going to come in and you're going to group yourself maximum of three. And Mark will be here to answer questions and to explain things at the beginning. And you're going to go ahead and solve some problems as a group, okay, using access. So you're going to experiment with access as a group and kind of hopefully try some of this stuff that I went over today. And that's all that's going to happen Thursday is you're going to work as a group. And the group assignment is out there. And then you have an individual assignment. And this one is that you're going to make a database table. So this one isn't due until a week from Saturday. So it's due, Saturday is the 4th? So the 11th or something. So this is due the 11th, okay? So what you're going to do is you're going to make a database table. It's going to have an ID number, a title of the resource, building, world, etc. And I gave an example. So an example might be the ID number is 111. This is the Academic Center for Entrepreneurship. It's located in K Building. It's in K121 and so forth. What you're doing is you're going to go and look up college resources and make a database of college resources. okay? Now, I said here very carefully, if you can't find something, wing it, okay? I can't find where that is. They should be in B building if they're not, so I'll put them in B building. In other words, I would like you to try, but if you can't find something, then make something up, okay? But I'd actually like you to try to find the resources. And so you're making up a database of resources, and then you're coming down here, and you're going to answer six queries. So once you get the table made, you're going to do six queries on that table. And those are the six queries you're going to do. My suggestion is that you not start this until you've done the group thing on Thursday. Because I think the group thing is going to give you kind of a chance to talk things over, work things out, ask each other questions, ask my questions, kind of sort it all out. And so I would do the group assignment before I start this, unless you're totally comfortable with it. Okay? Because I think that will ask questions. And then if you have more questions, you can ask me next Tuesday, because it's not due until the following Saturday.